Welcome to the Remnant Radio Show. We're glad you can join us for part B of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride.
Well, welcome back. This is Nitza Moshe with Suzette Robinson, and we are discussing part 7 of the Preparation Practical Skills for the Remnant Bride.
It's great for, you know, saving your foods if they're kind of turning and you don't have time to eat them up. Throw them in the dehydrator. I've done fruit. We've done fruit leather. I do salad. I buy the spring mix. It's often on sale, and it takes quite a few shelves because it's so fluffy and it doesn't brown. I haven't had it brown anyway. I buy the organic spring mix, and it comes out just as green when it's dry, and I figure it'll be great in a soup or a stew. We've tried, like I said, all kinds of things. Orange slices do not dehydrate. Do not do citrus fruit in the sections that they naturally come apart in. I ended up with just hot, crusty orange sections, and the outside was like dry, but the inside was just hot and still completely hydrated. So experiment with different things. Beef jerky, you can make ground beef jerky, which would last a long time. And, of course, have your vacuum packer to put your stuff in that you saved. But dehydrated is a great way to store things for a long time and reduce the weight.
And if you're not going to store it for a long time, that's another reason why and how to use your glass jars. You know, when you buy a product and you've used it up, then you can store some of your dehydrated products that aren't, you know, that you're not going to carry in a backpack or something, or you're going to transfer, you know, over into a Ziploc bag or something. Now, you can do citrus if you cut them and thin them out, right?
Right, yeah. Just right. In the sections, they just don't work.
Right, not in the original sections. Now, what about yogurt? I've never done that one. Does that kind of end up like a fruit roll-up or something?
I thought it would, but it actually, it was weird. It came out kind of like if you ever ate like freeze-dried fruit, it's real thin. Now, I could have spread it thicker, I think, and maybe it wouldn't have been so crunchy. It was real thin. It didn't really come out like a fruit roll-up. Fruit leather comes out beautifully, but the yogurt, but I thought, you know, it's a way to get a dairy product. I'm not sure, you know, if it killed everything that was healthy in it off, but, you know, I had good yogurt, and it's worth a try, and it's a little different, you know, variety of food, and especially if it's something that's being marked down and you can get it for a good price and just, you know, save it.
Okay. I like to use yogurt when I make a fruit salad and just throw yogurt in. So maybe you could rehydrate it and use it that way too.
Yeah. Or even just, cause it's kind of crumbly, you know, it's real dry, right. And mm-hmm. just powder it even. That would be kind of interesting to toss that on top of a salad.
We've done that with goat cheese too. We've dehydrated the goat cheese. And actually that's pretty cool because what I did with the last batch was after I dehydrated the goat cheese, and of course I put essential oils and herbs in it, then I, when it's dry, I put it in my Vitamix and make it into a powder so that you can mix it with, say, garlic or something and sprinkle it on your bread or your soups, like when you have broiled garlic bread or something. Instead of buying, you know, the expensive cheeses in the store that are dry, like Parmesan or something. So that's something to consider.
And canned Parmesan is not really food, is it?
Right.
I don't think so. But I was thinking of something else. And there's just a lot of things you can dehydrate and just experiment. You know, all you can do is try it. Eggs. You can do scrambled eggs, I think it's like you scramble them first, and then there's instructions you can find on the internet, and I've seen it done, and then somebody at Sukkot did this and then made a quiche out of it, and it was quite good. And you run them through like a rice masher and then put them in the dehydrator, and they just look like, you know, a powder. So you can have eggs. You know, obviously aren't going to make a cake with it, but you can do like a quiche or something.
Right. Well, you know, that's just like we were looking at gluten-free products. And, of course, I'm used to grinding my own grains. And I see, you know, okay, so they charge extra for ground rice and ground coconut flour, you know, ground millet or whatever. And I'm just like, I have a grinder. So why do I need to buy prepackaged gluten-free flowers, you know, that's something that you, if you look at the ingredients on something you and you want to grind it yourself, you can probably figure out how to adapt that or exchange that and do it from scratch. Especially if you, you know, I know some people have Vitamix. I have all kinds of grinders. So, you know, electric, non-electric, et cetera. But those are things to look at. Okay. And, you know, now dehydrated foods, does that kind of go freeze dried? Not necessarily the same thing as sprouting beans, is it? Because that's live food. But, I mean, your seeds are in your, like your berries, your wheat berries. And your different kinds of beans are all dry, right? But
right.
Some of these things you could use to sprout.
Yeah, some of it. Like, I mean, I think that once you ran some of them, once you ran through the dehydrator, it might kill the mechanism right. That makes them sprout. But they're already dry. And right. Those are definitely having stuff to make fresh food would be really important. So don't forget those along with the stuff that you're going to dehydrate or get freeze dried.
Right, because sometimes you can buy them either way. Okay, deodorant. Now, I don't think it's on our existing site, but I think it will be on our new site. We actually now have an essential oils roll-on deodorant called Atom for men. But it looks like here the crystal stick. You want to tell us how that works?
You wet it, and it's basically a salt. And you wet it and rub it on. And one of those things, I've had one, I wanted it to go away. I had it so long. it'll last for years. I figure if you have one crystal stick, you might get through the Great Tribulation just fine. but, you know, also we certainly, most of us know that the antiperspirants are toxic. They have aluminum and other chemicals in them. They're definitely not healthy, especially for ladies who shave. You know, you're opening those pores and then putting that directly on. I think there may be a link to breast cancer in that. Not that anybody's ever admitted that, but get a natural deodorant. That'll be interesting to see the one that you guys have. And, you know, use something. I mean, I think we're more comfortable when we don't feel like we're sweaty and stinky, you know.
Yeah, and I guess that's, you know, a matter of preference. I know a lot of people really get into that. You know, they need it. Something to consider that if you really do need it, maybe you need to look at whether or not you're drinking enough water and you're not drinking a lot of junk food too, because a lot of that is, you know, toxins being thrown off from the body. The sweat is there to cool you down, right?
Right.
But not necessarily the toxins.
Right.
So, like in our family, you know, we just don't spend the money on items like that. And if we need it, we would make it up with Spice Traders, or now we have this new roll-on. The only time I've ever had a real issue was when I was pregnant for some reason. You know, just didn't matter if I was standing there with soap in a shower. It just didn't matter. But yeah, be careful about what you're putting on your skin. And if you need deodorant, look at the alternatives with the crystal sticks or... and I think the base in our... Atom roll-on deodorant is witch hazel with essential oils.
I like witch hazel. I use that as an astringent.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's an old time thing that we used to use all the time. And you don't see it around too much anymore. So, all right. Don't throw anything out. You may be able to use it for something else.
And you talk about this a lot with repurposing glass. And
yeah, I love glass.
We know... Yeah, as business people, that when you pay for everything. I mean, that cost of that packaging is in the cost of your product. And a good example is to run down to the dollar store and see what it would cost you just to buy an empty glass jar or, you know, this or that. And you can see that the packaging is definitely expensive. And so there's so many things that we just throw out. And if you were in an emergency survival situation where especially when the time comes when we can't buy or sell, things that you have that you normally, we tend to be a throwaway society. It's really pitiful, but you know, we tend to not throw too much out in our house if we can help it. You know, an old sock that gets a hole in it that is past mending, or I don't want to mend it, gets cut up and turned into a scrub rag. You know, you just have to learn how to keep using something well beyond its normal use, because we're not going to have an endless supply of replenishment. in certain situations. I mean, I don't think we're going to have paper towels and paper napkins and that kind of stuff, and plastic silverware and plastic forks. Those are the kind of things that we have to get over our mindset that everything is just here now and we can just buy a new, you know, we can just use it up. It's disposable and throw it out.
Right. And, you know, a good example, I think, of this on how uses have changed is quilting. Today, quilting is an expensive art.
Yeah.
But years ago, it was all about saving something left over that was good from something that was worn and conserving it and making something else out of it. And, you know, that's what made it. You didn't throw away the buttons that were on them either. You cut the buttons off and you recycled them. And now the, on the topic of essential oil bottles or any kind of bottle really, but particularly your herbs and oil bottles, I'm telling you, they cost anywhere from $1 to $4 or $5 just to replace and purchase that bottle. So I like to save all my bottles, especially those kind, because I'm either remaking a tincture or an essential oil and I'm mixing it and giving it to someone, you know, or doing something like that. And I can say, here, you know, you can use this. And of course, you know, make sure that you mark them well. Suzette, did you want to add anything else to that thing about not throwing things away? And
yeah, don't about labeling things properly. Some people know the story about I use colloidal silver in my eyes, and I sent my son and I said, go get the bottle of my eye drops off of the counter. And he did exactly what I said, but my bottle wasn't labeled, and he grabbed the grapefruit seed extract. And that's a long, complicated, painful story, but I definitely would say label, label, label. And when we're talking about saving things, we're not just talking about, you know, packaging or containers. We're saying, you know, if it looks purposeful or useful, even if it's not useful for its current state, you know, I mean, when we throw out, if we have electronics that go bad, I cut the cords off and save the copper wiring, keep the cable. It could either be used as wiring or it could be used to hook up something else electric or some kind of cable or rope. Picture wire, sometimes I use it for picture wire. There's just things that you have to look at how something can be used in another way.
Right. All righty. And so let's move on to dry beans.
This is an excellent source of protein. They're very readily available and they're inexpensive and they're easy to store. They're also really great in the garden. If you're very busy and you like to plant things, but you get busy at harvest time, dry beans do not have to necessarily be picked at the right moment like other produce does. If they sit on the vine dry, they're okay. And there's all kinds out there. I mean, there's the kind that can be sprouted like mung beans and such. And then there's your average bean like white beans and black beans and black turtle beans. And they're very versatile. You can do a lot of stuff with beans, mash, soup, lots of things.
Okay. One thing I want to bring up here is I'm just, you know, the way my brain thinks is, and this is in the bean category, this reminds me of Ezekiel bread. And in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 4, around verse 9, you know, Ezekiel has to, you know, lay down, and Father's trying to teach these lessons through him for the sins of Israel. And it just makes sense to me that if Yahweh gave him instructions on what to eat during this time period, and I believe it was 3 years, wasn't it? 3.5 years, that, you know, the prescription that Father gave him, I believe, was a good prescription, and it was something that was going to keep him healthy. And so when I look at food storage or an all-around diet based on just a few items, I think that Ezekiel, or usually what people call Ezekiel bread, is something to really consider here. And so they have wheat. Now, I know today we have gluten products and gluten allergies, et cetera. However, I don't think that wheat, and you could do some word studies on this, you know, could maybe be spelt. I've heard that some people believe that spelt was wheat, and maybe some more ancient grains like kamut or something. So that's something to consider. But then we also have barley on this list. We have beans on this list. And we have lentils and millet. And another one that gets translated is fitches. And in the Hebrew, it says it's kusameth. Some believe it might be spelt or rye. But I even wonder, just looking at the word, was it couscous or something like that? So if you're wanting to make something, you know, if you're thinking, hey, this is the only thing that I'm going to have long term, you know, and obviously if you could maybe sprout it, that would be good. But I think that's just a recipe that might be beneficial to focus in on those items when you're looking at your food storage.
Awesome. We know Father gives us perfect instruction.
Okay. We have now easy beverages such as coffee, tea, and, you know, maybe some other things. Like I like green drinks.
Yeah. And those things, people hydrate better, or, you know, they want to drink something if it tastes good. Coffee, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I certainly think it would be worth some bartering. I know some people who probably do a lot for some coffee.
Absolutely. That's my barter thing.
So
I know somebody's going to be desperate and will pay highly, and I want fresh tomatoes or something.
Yeah. So, you know, things that are dried and make a beverage would be nice to have a little something extra. And certainly the caffeine doesn't hurt. I mean, if you need it or you really want it, it's something to have. And teas, there's so many beneficial teas out there that have health and medicinal properties. Those are certainly something to have. And it could be another powdered drink. We don't do Kool-Aid, but there are health powdered drinks. And like right. You said, you like green drinks. They have, you know, the powdered veggies or powdered greens or powdered reds.
Yeah. And another one that we really like with all kinds of health benefits is essential oils. You know, you've got our citrovescence that we have at remedy.net. We have lemon, lime and ginger. We make a chai, which one day I'm going to bottle that. With ginger, cinnamon, clove oil, orange, tangerine oil, and you could put a little stevia or honey or molasses and make a really nice drink. I love for arthritis and just for a refreshing drink to use essential oils of lemon, with or without fresh lemon, depending on whether I can get it, but I definitely use essential oil and then maybe a pinch of cayenne. So there's things, and you know, you got peppermint. There's all kinds of, if you have fresh peppermint or fresh spearmint, that is really refreshing in the summertime to put in a glass of ice water. So maybe, I've never tried that with dried ones, but maybe that would be okay too, to put them in dry.
Yeah. I mean, the oils for making drinks would be a great way to travel with that stuff.
Yeah. Because it only takes one drop for, you know, a couple of cups there, depending on how strong you like it. Okay, what about edible wild plants? You know, this is something I really like to do. It's part of what we call wildcrafting, and everyone needs to go to their own area and find out what those plants are that are edible, medicinal, and which ones are poisonous and to stay away from.
Yeah, and that is really geographical. And you really need to have a book unless you're an expert and you've really had lots of study in the area, because it's very easy to get something poisonous. And the mushrooms, I mean, I've heard even experts who say they don't want to deal with mushrooms because there's so many that are toxic.
Right. Well, or maybe, you know, identify a mushroom that is really easy to identify that you know is definitely bad or definitely good. I know there's one up here that's definitely good, but it doesn't look like any of the other mushrooms. And people like that. I stay away from mushrooms, but that is something to definitely look at. And also, we like to, every year, if you can get other people that might be interested in this, every year, you know, whoever's interested, we will get several ladies. And because we live at different elevations in different parts of the counties, even over into Idaho and Washington, they'll know where, say, St. John's Wort is and what time of the year it is in bloom for what they want to do to process it. I will know, you know, maybe where Oregon grape is or where rose hips are. Love to pick rose hips if we're here during Sukkot, because where we have our primitive camp, we can go out and in Wildcraft and collect our rose hips, and I can get enough rose hips for a year or two. And sometimes another lady will see some, and, you know, if we can get together, we'll go out and craft them, or, you know, get them together. But a lot of times what we'll do is one of us will come back with elderberries, another one will come back with rose hips or whatever, and then we'll just share. And it's also a way of just, you know, even if you're just going to give a little bit to someone so they know what it looks like and what time of the year, and keep a journal as to, you know, some plants you use the leaves, some plants you use the stem, some you use the fruit, and some you use all three for different purposes. And so you want to know when's a good time of the year. For instance, in the next month, we're going to hopefully be getting all our dandelions. And you want your dandelion root early, because the older they get, you want the dandelion roots for sure, but the leaves are more bitter if they're not the fresh little ones that are coming up. So
I know I go around picking dandelions in the yard, and I think the neighbors, you know, they're out poisoning theirs. We're picking ours, saying, this is a beautiful plant.
Right. And we get, do you get dandy snow up there?
What is dandy snow? The white ones, the puffy ones?
Well, what happens is when they turn puffy, we have so many of them here, it'll just start floating through the air in the springtime, late springtime, and we call it dandy snow.
I mean, we get it to a small degree, but I don't think we get it like that. I've never heard that. So we must not get it like that. That would be a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. All righty. Do you have anything else to cover on that? I mean, everyone needs to get a regional book and really figure that out for themselves.
It is very important, because it's a very readily available, if you're in the wilderness living, an important source of food. So do get a book for an area that you're going to be in so that you can take advantage of that.
All right. Fresh eggs are my favorite. What about eggs?
Yeah.
I drink some hot pepper, and I am sometimes might not sound right.
Fresh eggs will last for 5 months in the open. When I lived in Europe, they did not refrigerate eggs. And the way that you can test eggs to see if they're still good or not is if they float, they are bad. That means that the air has infiltrated the shell. They've been around long enough for enough air to infiltrate the shell and make it float to the top. If they sink to the bottom, and even if they, as long as they're touching the bottom, even if they stand upright and they're still staying on the bottom, we consider that good, and you can use them. And certainly having chickens would be great.
Now, isn't the secret to keeping eggs fresh, though, the exact opposite of what everybody's trained to do?
I don't know. Is there?
Okay, well, the way I understand it, in my experience, is that the secret to keeping your eggs as long as possible is not to wash them. Because when you wash them, you take that membrane of protection off the outside. And so if there's some eggs that you would like to keep longer, you don't wipe the outsides off of the eggs. You know, you might want to get some poop or something off, you know what I mean? But you don't want to wash that layer that has been put around them off, because then it puts a barrier there for that air to come in. So those eggs will last a lot longer. So, you know, do your research on that one. Have we discussed the encyclopedia of country living?
I don't think we did.
Well, I think that's really important. And we will talk about that next week. The Encyclopedia of Country Living, because it is the one book I believe you want to run away with if you, you know, besides your Bible, if you had to run away with something that could tell you how to do just about anything and everything to homestead or to get by with animals and fruits and vegetables and wildcrafting and stuff like that. So our time is just about up. Is there anything that you would like to share before we go off the air?
I think we've covered just about everything we can for today. It's been great to be back, and we're looking forward to the next show.
Alrighty. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmer. Shalom.
Shalom.
She bends her heart to Yahweh in prayer. When she hears